Okay, so we're back. Hey, everybody, we're back. Sorry about that, technical difficulties. The title of my sermon is Let God Finish Putting a New Heart in You. You know, he's not going to put a new heart in you unless you're willing to let him. In Matthew 9 and 16, I had quoted that it talks about putting a piece of cloth onto an old garment, and when you do something like that, the patch will pull away from the garment and make the tear much worse, and you lose whatever you're trying to store in that. Now, it's a principle that Jesus was giving us to the churches. And I was also talking about humanity tries very hard to better itself. And I'm kind of glad that people do that, because it'd be much worse for society if we all just decided to be our worst, right? But what they focus on, what our human nature tends to do, is tries to modify its behavior so we can be happy, have peace, and change our life. But there's a reoccurring problem, and this is why there's so many different ideas on YouTube, on Facebook. Yeah, you could go to seminars. You can do all kinds of different things, you know. And there is such a reoccurring challenge when you try just to modify things in your life. The reoccurring problem is these old behaviors, attitudes, and thinking patterns, if you just change them up a bit, you can't come up with a new person. You're still the same person. Changing your thinking patterns, you might experience a limited or a temporary success. You know, you might experience a little bit of success because you're trying to do something different than what you were doing. But you're still going to fall back into some of the same type of problems, the root of the problems, because it's our heart that's off. It's our mind. You know, the Bible says heart is mostly referring to the mind. Your mind has a lot of things in it that's not right. We have learned a thinking patterns. Our mind has been programmed from birth by our parents, our friends, our teachers, society, a perspective of life that does not work. It will fail you. And all of these wrong thinking patterns that are in your mind, up inside this brain of ours, has attached chemical formulas, I like to say kind of like emotional injuries, to those thinking patterns. And it has a lot of strength. It has a lot of power. Have you ever said something you did not want to say, but you just felt driven to do it? Have you ever had an attitude you really did not want to have? You want to just let these negative feelings go, but you just couldn't. You were driven to think about them, to hang on to them. What you were experiencing was a chemical override. It overwrit your will. Your will was not to do these things, but your emotions are more powerful than your will. It torments you until you obey, because that is what it was designed to do. The scripture says that you must have a change of the very basic person. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, which means desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new person, which was created according to God in all true righteousness and holiness. We need to stop trying to repair the old person. Or another way is, when I say stop trying to repair it, stop being defensive. But to recognize that old thinking and that old attitude, they're wrong. We need to humble ourselves and accept that we have an ugly side. Not that you are that ugly side, but that you have it. Like if you're grumpy, you're grumpy. I do this sometimes. I catch myself trying to justify my grumpiness. Oh, I'm not grumpy. It's just, you know, I woke up kind of late or whatever. No, I'm grumpy. Or I've got a bad attitude. Your bad attitude you have is a bad attitude. Accept it that it's there, that you're doing this, that it's there, that is true. So you can yield to what God is trying to do within you. Amen. Humanity needs to see Christians solid, strong, overcoming failure, and dealing with pressure and not being overwhelmed by it. You can't, God can and wants to create in you a type of mind, a type of heart, that you're not going to be overwhelmed by pressure around you. You're not going to be overwhelmed by things going wrong in your life. Amen. That you can emotionally, mentally, physically still be strong. Yes. And handle things. Deal with things. Amen. They need to see the best that God has to offer through you. They need to see a person who can deal with circumstances and handle negatives of life without being overwhelmed. Because people, we all want to know, can I be okay? I think that's what we want to know more than, can God make everything great in my life? Can I be okay no matter what happens? We need a new spiritual heart. In Ezekiel 36 and 26, God says to the future people, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that old heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 16, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What God would like to do in you, Christians, brothers and sisters, is that he's telling us here that we should be a new person. Okay? I mean, that's talking about something new that's in you. But the feedback that I receive from people is that this is not what they always experience. But we should. Some Christians continue to struggle with their old nature even after they come to salvation. I've been there. The scripture is saying that your basic perception of life is what must change. The new part of me is the way that I perceive life. See, Christ has a way of perceiving everything in a way that he is always able to respond correctly in every moment. He doesn't get overwhelmed by life. He doesn't get overwhelmed by the problems around him. He didn't get overwhelmed by the cross. He didn't get overwhelmed by his disciples betraying him, by people arguing with him. He knew how to be there and be present in that moment and be a solid rock. He wants to put that same mind and that same heart in you. What becomes new inside us is how we perceive things. Because how you perceive things change. You know, like the example that we've heard in the sermon many times where Mike had talked about how he had down, you know, back in the day, he was down to his last dollar, bought himself a hamburger, and a kid had stole it off the counter after he paid for it. So he chased the kid down because, hey, why did that kid steal, you know? And then he follows the kid through an alley. He gets around the corner, and then things are different because he sees that the kid was giving the hamburger to his younger sister. And he talked to this kid, and what he found out was that they hadn't eaten for a week. They had a broken home, had no place to go. And all of a sudden, that him stealing the hamburger no longer bothered him anymore. He wasn't bothered by the hamburger being stolen. Actually, he was okay with it because these little kids needed it more than him. What changed? The hamburger still got stolen. He still didn't get to eat it. So his circumstances didn't change, but how he saw it changed. Amen. That's why you can be solid. That's what God wants to do with you. No, he's not saying he's going to take away every negative that happens in life, but he can change you to where the negatives in this life are neutralized. Amen. As far as you're concerned. Amen. It can't really affect you. People will criticize you and gripe at you, or people will condemn you, people will do these things. It only bothers you when you don't perceive it in the right way. Like, I remember I used to see these little kids when, you know, Elijah was just a little kid. They're like, him and Dakota, they're like, why are you so fat? Because back then I was really, really, really overweight. I was 320, you know. Now, I had two choices there. Perceive that in an offensive way, or I could laugh about it, which I end up cracking up because they're just little kids. And little kids, they're just kind of, little kids, you know, the Bible talks about how the mouth of babes come truth. Now, were they lying? Nope, I was fat. I was overweight. But what I did was I thought, you know, I'm going to explain to them something. So what I explained to them was, well, this is what happens in my situation, that I eat a lot and I eat sugar because their parents were trying to help them stop eating so much sugar because they just were like, you know. Now that we have more information, we all understand that sugar is pretty harmful to you. You know, so you consume a bunch of it, it could really hurt your immune system and so forth. And so I had a chance there to minister to these children with truth. I said, you know, it's because of sugar. You know, it made them look differently about sugar. My point is, the principle in that is, I could be offended or I can minister. I wasn't threatened by the little kids. We tell our children to tell us the truth, tell us everything, but then when they tell us they do, we don't like it, we get mad. So no wonder they don't want to tell us anything. We don't respond well. You ever had your parents say, now maybe your parents had never done this, but mine said, if you tell me the truth, I won't spank you. So I'm like, yes, I about burnt the house down. I'm going to kill you. And I got a whooping anyway. I thought, well, what good was it do to tell you the truth? We have lived our life through our own self perspective, the perspective of self. And when you do that, self will always be first and foremost. You will, no matter how hard you try to love, no matter how much you really love your children or love your spouse or love your friends or love your parents, if you perceive life through self, yourself will always override any decision you make most of the time, which means once you start to feel threatened by something they're saying or doing, you will lash out and hurt them, even when you don't want to, because self is trying to protect it put itself first. Christ gives you the capacity to change your perspective to his. I say that because not every Christian does that. God is not going to make you think better. When Christ comes inside you, the mind of Christ is put in you. You have the capacity now to no longer be controlled by our emotions. But you have to decide in every moment to change the way you think about it. This new ability that God has given us at salvation, that I can now relate and perceive the spiritual realm. Remember that story about, I think it was Elisha, when all these soldiers were surrounding them, and one of his servants got worried, and he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eye, and God anointed his eyes, and he saw all these angels and spiritual beings that were much outnumbered the race. Well, see, then he was seeing into the spiritual realm, but the spiritual realm is a way of thinking and a way of perceiving life. That's what the spiritual realm really is. The temporary realm that we all generally live in can't see past the nose in our face because it's always focused on self. See, there is more. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people, really. We are wrestling against a philosophy and an idea that is the heart of Satan has been put into people. And they're just expressing what's been given to them. So when you get into it with people, you're really fighting against the kingdom of darkness that God says he's trying to destroy through us. In the beginning, my Christian experience, when I continued to function with the self perspective, well, you're going to look at everything through an intellectual and a psychological way. That's how I'm going to view circumstances and people. If you or me, If we do that, we're going to be hurtful. Because you're going to keep on responding to how you feel about it rather than what is the right way to respond to it. If we can perceive life in a way that God does, you can be a dynamic influence in everybody that you come in contact with. Amen. To know a person as God does, then you can interject into the core a supernatural answer that that person needs in that moment.
Amen.
You can do that. But what I want to leave with you today is that we're capable of this, so why aren't we doing it? Well, because we interfere. We interfere with what God is doing in our lives. So I don't have time to give you it all, but I'm going to give you some steps of how we interfere, because the answer is within the understanding of what we're doing. Because see, when we talk about learning transformational truth that's from the Word, it's to help us recognize what God is doing in our lives so we will stop getting in His way. He's doing the work, but we can slow it down.
Amen.
To a very small crawl. You're like, why is God taking so long? Because you're in the way. He's trying not to run you over. He's trying to preserve your free will, yet change you. I want to be that changed best me. How about you? Well, let's talk about some ways that we can think of. Well, self-centeredness is a problem. In Romans 8, 6 through 8. In Romans 8, 6 through 8. It says, for to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh are carnal, cannot please God. What I'm talking about here is this self-centeredness. It affects your judgments. If we're self-focused, if our perception is going right through the filter of self, it's going to affect our judgment. Because you will decide things based on how you feel about it, convenience, amount of sacrifice, and difficulty level. Now, some of us are getting older. Let's be honest. I'll be walking across a stage or a patio or something, and I just jump. To get hurt, because I'm hurt, get to the car. How many people have done that when you're younger? You jump. Now, how many of you walk there and calculate, okay, now how many steps and how far is that? Now, I don't know if I want to do that jump. It's going to hurt. You know, just take the steps. Because I was laughing at myself. I start realizing the older I get, the more I start I start calculating everything by effort. That's how you know you're getting old. How much effort I got to put into this? You know, and then cost is right second. But first you think of effort, then cost. And you know you're getting old when you do stuff like that. Just choking around a little bit. Seriously. But that's what we do. When you're focused in yourself, you're going to evaluate everything from this perspective. See, our decisions as a Christian should be based on this. Does God want me to do this? That should be first and foremost consideration. What is the need, and can Christ in me meet it?
Amen.
Am I the right person? Is this how you want me to spend my time, God? There's more, but that's just give you a little start there to think about that. That's how Christians, we should be looking at things. When you're asked to do something, someone calls you or whatever's going on in that moment, those are the kind of things you should be considering. Well, God, do you want me to do this? God, you know, am I the right person, God? And that's how you look at it. And the scriptures can point you. How about another? Goals. What are your goals in this life? Or you could say, how about in this day? How about today? What is my goals? Well, it's okay to have goals. I'm not saying it's not. But all your goals should be in Christ, should be intentive goals. Easily changed if God decides to change them.
Amen.
See, God is a God of the living. And the living is always moving.
Right.
And God is always moving forward to the future, always. James 4, 13 through 15. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, this sounds like us, doesn't it? Today or tomorrow, I will go to Wichita. And I might spend some time there, might go to Costco's, I might go to Good Sam's, might go to whatever it is you like, whatever you like to eat. Me, it used to be Jason's Deli. And I'm going to make some money, or I'm going to spend some money, whatever. But then in chapter, I'm paraphrasing this, in verse 14 it says, it goes back and talks to you, who makes these plans, says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for just a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that.
Amen.
But we have rigid goals. And I used to be this way, and sometimes I slip into this, and that is, I'm going to wish on no matter what. That's our attitude. Get out there, got a flat tire, got to fix it. You get stressed out because you got to fix a flat tire. You get get irritated because you got to take time to fix that. Am I getting you? Am I kind of running along there? Or are you getting frustrated because your spouse is like, and you're kind of like, what is taking him so long? I mean, you pace back and forth about 20 more times the distance took them to walk to the car. That could be either one. You know, you're thinking, I wish they ate their Wheaties today. Only the people been around for a while knows what that means. No, if you really have if the Lord wills, then we will go. And if it doesn't work out, we'll still have a good attitude.
Amen.
Maybe it was not God's will. Now, what's some other things that we do to get in God's way? Emotional, we have emotional injuries. We have fears. See, we can start out our spiritual journey as Christians, and then we get off. We get off into the human path. Have you ever looked on Google and you see one way to get there and you think, I bet this looks over here like this would be a faster, quicker way. And then you take that route and you go, this was the worst route I've ever taken. I remember one time me and Brent was on a trip one time and we looked ahead and we thought, man, if we just cut through the Ozarks here, we never been to Ozarks. And we thought, we just cut through this road here. We'll knock off about 100 miles. I wanted to just smack myself and him too. That was the most worst route you could have ever taken. It was shorter, all right, but it took you twice as long to get there because you couldn't go faster than 45 the whole way. Long distances to the bathroom, up in the mosquitoes. I mean, it was just a mess. We got off track. Well, that's kind of the way it is with... You've got the humanity way of trying to get to success, and then you've got the straight and narrow. See, I don't care what route is shorter, the freeway is almost always faster. Even if the freeway is longer, you drive more. And that's strange. Those of you who don't travel much may not understand me, but you may go 50 miles further but get there an hour faster.
Amen.
Because you could go 70 or 75 on a freeway and 45 on a two-lane or 55. In Galatians 3 and 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, you are now being made perfect by the flesh. I want to throw you out there that there's a scripture that stay in the spiritual lane. Stay by looking to the scriptures to see what kind of attitude, what kind of thinking that you should have. What's some other things that we do to get in God's way? Well, we don't have the right purpose. We're not focused on the correct purpose. We have a purpose, but not the correct purpose. Because here's the thing. What you think your purpose is affects your decisions and who you listen to.
Amen.
Now, some of you who feel like you do have the right purpose, those of you know who I'm talking about, you need to remember your purpose in that moment you're making decisions. Because sometimes we slide into this to the human side of what our purpose is. Like the overall purpose in Ephesians 43 and 10, we were created to be God's witness for God. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he, and before me there is no God formed, nor shall there ever be. Now, Ephesians 3:10. Yeah, that Isaiah 43:10 is the first one. I'm moving to Ephesians 3:10. Now, you were created to be a witness for God to do what? Well, Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, which is us, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. We are to demonstrate God's wisdom by the way we think, by the way that we live, which is our attitude, decisions we make. Even in our failures, we need to have a good attitude and learn from our failures. So people, so all of creation can see that. Even if you fail, you, God can help you and bring you back. Amen. Make you whole. That even when things go wrong in your life, you'll still believe in God. You'll still trust Him. Even when you don't understand everything that's going on. Because it's not like that you and I have all clearance. We get to know everything that's happening and why it's happening. I wish life was that simple, but it's not. I'm not privy to get to know everything that God knows. We all are on the need-to-know basis. So there are some things that God may not share with you. And why you're going through what you're going through. So you need to trust Him. Put your trust in Him. You show more of an example of wisdom about trusting God when you don't understand everything. So God's got this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I may, you know, whatever happens to me, I'm going to trust that God's got me. Amen. Whatever decision He makes to save me or let me go, it was the right thing to do. That's what I trust. Okay, what else do we do? We have prejudices. What are prejudices? Well, the reality is it's something you've learned. We learn through experience, and if I can say this right, associational relationships. In other words, our prejudices can be projected from someone else. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily prejudice about race or anything like that, but we all have prejudices. Opinions, your tastes, your likes or dislikes. You have prejudices. Some people don't like pizza. Some people do. Some people don't like Chinese food. Some people do. Some people don't like me. Some people do. Probably less don't than do. You know, there's all kinds of things. I like chocolate. Amy likes vanilla. Tastes and likes and dislikes. Prejudices. Have you ever, I don't like mushrooms. I'm prejudiced against mushrooms. And one day, Amy tricked me into eating something. It had mushrooms in it. And I said, oh, it tastes good. She goes, ha ha, there's mushrooms in it. I was like, ha ha, I don't care as long as I can't taste it. But have you ever not eaten something because you just fear it's going to taste bad? But you really don't know that it's going to taste bad. It's just your prejudices that create the fear that it might taste bad. We have prejudices, our tastes, our likes and dislikes. Well, all of that should be determined by the Word of God. If the Word, you should get in the Bible. What does it say? Well, it says, take no thought of what I eat and drink, so that shouldn't be my value. Well, you know, we all have prejudices about everything. But the Bible tells us what we should think, what we should, our taste should be. That's what we should focus on. Amen. And then if you should run into circumstances, if the Word of God does not address something particularly, because there are some things the Bible doesn't say one way or the other. Well, this is the way you should be. If it doesn't address it, and if the Bible is neutral on this, then you should be neutral too. I find it amazing that when God first brought this to my attention, I laughed because I thought about most of my experience that I've had with the Christian community all my life. It cracks me up. I've never heard that before until one day Mike brought it up. It's like, wait a minute, if the Bible's neutral, then why am I not neutral? If I look in the Bible, because see, the Bible has all the principles of how to deal with life, but it doesn't tell you always every little detail of every little thing because each generation is not always the same. Like, well, is TV of the devil or not? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, it doesn't say anything about a TV. So why am I going around criticizing, jumping on people for watching TV or this and that? Now, that's not so much of a thing nowadays, but it was at one time. Well, the Bible does say watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Does say that, so at least I know that I should watch. Be careful what I watch on TV or my tablet or my phone or whatever else device you like, and what I listen to. So I know those two principles are in there. So at least I'll be careful of those things. Praise the Lord! That could be weather. Well, that was the end of my sermon, anyway. So did I get that part out before it went gone again? Praise the Lord! Right in the middle of it. Well, hi, guys. I'm glad you're still here. Thank you for being with us here. We hope you was able to hear all this. We had technical difficulties. We'll see you next week at 11 a.m. God bless you. Praise the Lord.